561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Augustine at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It's always an honor and a pleasure to share with you some of the thoughts of what are we facing today and how we should respond as Christians. There are a number of topics I'd like us to cover today. But before we do that, let me give you a little introduction about myself. I'm Mike Hill. I'm in the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm a small business owner. I've owned and operated an insurance and financial services business now for the past 34 years. Before that, I was active duty Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. And then from the years 2014 through 2020, I served in the Florida State House, state representative first in District 2 and then in District 1. And so I enjoy living in Florida, and I enjoy doing what I'm doing now, and that is owning this small business. And someone asked me just the other day, Mike, give me your assessment, a summary assessment of where we are in the world right now. How would you describe where we are in this world? And I did. I gave him a response back that was, I thought, succinct. And I stated that right now, where we are in a man-made absolute disaster. That sums up not only the United States, but the world right now. We are in a man-made absolute disaster. We have amoral, irreligious people in charge of nations, institutions, and governing bodies. They have no self-restraint because they do not acknowledge the living God. What we need is God's revival. Right now, not man-made, conjured-up revival. We need a true God revival. So, if you would like to call in, add your thoughts or questions to the show, the number is 904-831-0917. So, a number of things I would like for us to cover today. And here's a thought I'm going to throw out there, and I want you to think about it. And call in and tell me what is your response. Do we need a Black History Month? Again, the question is, should we celebrate a Black History Month? You can call in with your thoughts or your questions at 904-831-0917. That's just one of the topics we're going to talk about today. Another topic I want us to talk about is why now an epidemic of anti-Semitism? Why are we seeing, it just seems like it's come out of nowhere, all of a sudden this explosion on college campuses and in some of the Democrat-led cities, this explosion of people expressing their hatred for Jews. Where did that come from? We'll talk about that too. But before we get to all that, let's talk about one of the sponsors of Let's Face the Issues. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. So, amongst the topics I'd like us to discuss today, one of them being, should we celebrate Black History Month? I'm going to tell you my answer. The answer is no. And I'll go into some detail of why I believe that. But before I do that, I want to get to this. Here is something that I saw recently, which was on X, and this was posted by Joe Concha. He said, for those who continue to defend President Biden and insist he is sharp and active, here's his schedule for Tuesday, just this past Tuesday. Today is Thursday. Here's his schedule for Tuesday in an election year and after his horrific week last week when one ABC poll said 86% of voters don't think he has the mental acuity for the job. Here, this past Tuesday, is President Joe Biden's agenda for entire Tuesday. First of all, it doesn't even start until 10:15 a.m. So in other words, he's sleeping in. And it's not even him. What they put on the agenda is press briefing by Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre and White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby. That's at 10:15. Then the next thing on his agenda, so he's not even doing that. It's the two liars that they put in front of the press corps, the National Press Corps, this Jean-Pierre. Everyone knows she got the job simply because they were filling a diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda. And she was able to check several boxes, what they call intersectionality. She's Black, she's lesbian, and she's a Democrat. And so she got the job, despite her incompetence that's on display almost every day. You notice how when she gets uncomfortable, either with a lie that she's telling or she doesn't know the information because she's flipping through that notebook trying to find her scripted answer that she is supposed to say, notice the rapid eye blinking. She'll be asked a tough question and immediately her eyes start blinking like somebody just shot off a gun or something. But when she gets uncomfortable or she knows she doesn't know the answer or she's telling a lie, note the rapid eye blinking motion. Okay, so everyone knows she can't handle that job. She's way in over her head. So what do? They bring in a National Security Communications Advisor, John Kirby. He's a former Navy officer. They bring him in. He's competent. He knows what he's doing, but he's like a lot of Democrats in this Biden regime, he's a liar. Seldom will he tell you the truth. He will tell you what they want you to believe, what they want you to think. So from 10:15, that's what they announced, 10:15 a.m., this press conference that they're having. And then at 12:30, finally, Joe Biden's day begins. And what does it say? The president and the vice president have lunch. This is 12:30 now. So they finally roused him up out of bed, got him dressed, and he and the vice president are having lunch. By the way, that's going to be closed to the press. And then he has over a two-hour lunch. The next thing that shows up on the agenda is 2:45 p.m. The president receives the presidential daily briefing. The vice president attends. Again, closed to the press. Nothing else for the rest of the day. After that presidential daily briefing, I don't know how long that takes. Let's say a half hour, maybe an hour at the most. He can go take his nap now. And that's all he had scheduled for entire day of this past Tuesday. And the day before, Monday, there was nothing scheduled. So we have this over 80-year-old person who's been installed as our president. Everyone knows he didn't legitimately win that election. Everybody knows that, despite what the Democrats say. Here this guy is installed. He has taken more vacation days than any president in recent memory. And then when he's not on vacation, after a long weekend, after he's not on vacation, his week starts with nothing. He's doing nothing. All day Monday, nothing on his schedule. Tuesday, his day doesn't begin until 12:30 with a lunch. That lunch is 2.5 hours. And then after that, his daily briefing, which all he has to do is sit there and listen and try not to nod off. And then after that, he goes back to sleep. That is the Democrats' president. And that's who they want to run again in this upcoming election. I know Dr. Youngblood has said it several times, and I tend to agree with him. I don't think Biden's going to be the nominee. I don't think that's who they're... And the reason why they're waiting is because if they announce it too early, that gives everyone time to start investigating, looking at the background, whoever they put forward, and then to start attacking them. Because it doesn't matter who the Democrats put forward, it's going to be someone who's is an utter disaster, because that's who Democrats are. So they don't want us attacking that person too soon. So that's why they're holding on to these fake primaries where they won't even, the Democrats won't even let someone else on the ballot. Biden's the only one allowed on the ballot. They won't let Kennedy on the ballot. They won't let any other Democrats on the ballot. They close it off just for Joe Biden. And so they're going to wait as long as possible before they will announce who is going to be the true Democrat nominee. I don't think it's going to be Gavin Newsom. He's such a clown. I don't think it's going to be Kamala Harris. Everyone knows she's just as incompetent as John Pierre. It might be some radical like the governor of Illinois. He might be the one that they put forward. He's very wealthy. He's a staunch leftist Democrat. You can tell by how he runs the state of Illinois, which is, again, an utter, total man-made disaster. That's who I'm thinking they are going to put forward. But as president, he would be worse. We have already seen what happens not only to the nation but to the world when Democrats are in charge. We've seen how they have destroyed states, California, Illinois, Michigan, New Jersey, New York. There's plenty of evidence, and now the United States with the Biden regime in there. It's been an utter disaster. I understand we have Jim on the line. Jim, welcome to the show. What is your question or comment, please?
Hey, Representative Hill, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking, sir. I heard John Pierre say one time that Biden does more before 10 a.m. Than most average Americans do. And I'll just give you a quick rundown of my day. It started at 4 a.m. and I'm going to pick up my fourth load for the day. Anyway, on to my point. The Republicans are doing a vast and great disservice to themselves by touting the 25th or saying anything wrong in regards to, I mean, yes, of course, say Joe Biden's mental acuity is bad, but don't call for him to step down. Make the Democrats own this man. Put him on the ballot.
Right.
Let the Democrats hold him and themselves accountable for their for those actions. Pritzker, that's that man in Illinois is a mess. I think he recently instituted a anti-gun legislation where people had to register. And last part I read of it, only 2% of Illinois' residences have even registered, or gun owners have registered their guns. And man, the people of the state are just being outvoted by Cook County. You know, Chicago alone votes that individual in. Outside of those urban areas, this man wouldn't stand a chance in a straight-up vote. So, yeah.
And his gun control measure is unconstitutional, Jim. The Second Amendment said Congress will make no law that infringes upon the right to bear arms. You can't do it. But he ignores the Constitution. He and Biden both. Democrats do. They just ignore it. Their oath of office means nothing to them.
No. Well, the other part that I find amazing is one of the talking points that they always bring back there is, and I've heard this from Pelosi too there, that old Joe from Scranton is a practicing Catholic there, and I've heard the same thing. And it's amazing how many people are not looking at this individual with clear eyes and using discernment to figure out this man is not in office for the betterment of the nation or the people there. He is completely in there to rule by executive order against the people and against the governed, and really, we need to vote this man out. If you're a
That's
Democrat,
right.
You believe
so, Jim,
half of what they're
if
saying.
If he's not there working for the American people, if he's not there working for our nation, who is he there for?
In my opinion, that man is working for, he does not realize it, most likely because of his cognitive abilities there. But he's going to stand on, you know, his anger every time. Have you ever noticed him talk about world leaders there? The only person he starts yelling about is the Republicans and Trump.
That's
he can
right.
talk about Putin, but I've never seen that man raise his voice in regards to Putin or Xi. This man's working for whoever the highest payer is there. He's taking the bids and weighing them out and working for them. Nothing to do
Jim,
with the American.
You're right. So I think that means he's working for himself, period.
Oh,
and that's who
definitely.
He has always worked for since he was senator. By the way, the dumbest senator ever elected to the U.S. Senate. That's who he worked for himself when he was vice president, the dumbest vice president ever selected for that position. And that's who he is working for now, himself and his family, the dumbest president who's ever been installed in this nation. And he is taking his orders from Obama, who is taking his orders from the Council on Foreign Relations, who is taking their orders from the World Economic Forum, that they're globalists, who are trying to run this country so that they can benefit personally for it.
Yeah, well, hopefully people will wake up. I mean, we've got to remove this man at the ballot box. We've got to remove a lot of these Democrats from the ballot box. I understand that they're going to have a constituency that will always vote for them because they are on the dole. But these things need to change. Whatever happened at the time, my grandmother used to tell me, you don't work, you don't eat. It even says it in the Bible, too.
That's right. That's right. So, well, Jim, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Whenever you call in, you always make such excellent points, and I do appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, Jim talked about how we have to get Biden out of office. We just do. And so the legal way of doing that is to get out and vote. Now, we all know the Democrats are going to cheat. That's a given. They're going to cheat. And please, don't think because we know they're going to cheat, why go through the effort? Why even go vote? We have to vote. We have to defeat them the legal way. And we have to overwhelm them so much with the voting that the cheating would have to be so obvious, and we can't let them get away with it again. You know, if we surprised them in 2016 when the sheer number of people who were voting for Trump, which surprised them, they were shocked. They weren't anticipating or expecting that. And the sheer number, we overcame their cheating in 2016, and Trump was elected. They were ready in 2020. And here we come with the election. Again, the massive number of people voting for Trump overwhelmed them to the point where they had to stop simultaneously in five different key states. Stop counting. They stopped like at 1 a.m. in the morning. And Biden was trailing. He was trailing badly in all of those states. And then all of a sudden, 2 hours later, the counting started again. And when it started, Biden was ahead of Trump and then stayed ahead of him until all the voting had been counted. Everyone knows that that was cheating, that it was illegal. And so the reason why we were able to see that is because the sheer number of people who came out and voted. And we must do that again. We must do it again. We can see it at the Trump rallies, all the people who are showing up, just massive number of people. No, and no other candidate is getting that. Biden, of course, not. Nikki Haley, no. DeSantis, no. And he was, nobody but Trump. So don't shy away from voting. We must vote President Trump in, get Biden out of office if we're going to save this country. Okay, here's something I came across not too long ago. It's from a news site called Renewed Right, renewedright.com. And it lists how Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, asked one question that just won Trump the key 2024 Supreme Court case. This was concerning how the state of Colorado wanted to remove Trump from the ballot altogether. See how the Democrats work? They cheat. First of all, they said only Biden can appear on a ballot. This is on the Democrat side. But they know that Biden can't beat Trump. So they're trying their best to remove him from the ballot altogether. And they tried to use as their argument that he led an insurrection. And, of course, our Constitution says that anyone who leads an insurrection is ineligible to occupy the presidency. So that's why the narrative way back January 6th of 2020, or was it 2021, when they used the narrative that Trump started and led an insurrection. That was intentional words that they were using at that time just so that they could say that Trump cannot run for office because he led an insurrection. Using that word insurrection was key, and they continue to pound it, even though after that sham January 6th committee that they put together has proven that it was not an insurrection. Everybody knows what's going on, that was planned and put together by the Democrats. Pelosi, Obama, Biden, Chuck Schumer, and the rest of those crooks, along with the FBI, CIA, and a number of other government agencies, had that entire thing planned. They knew that Trump supporters were going to come to D.C. They knew it. So they were there in mass, infiltrating the people, leading them into the Capitol, and now arresting people. We have these January 6th political prisoners from a number of states all over, many from Florida, who are sitting in these jails in D.C., and some who are not in jail any longer. I have a personal friend, an ex-Marine, who went up there just taking pictures. That's all he did. And they arrested him, put him in jail for like 4 months. Just terrible. And by the way, they took all of his equipment, which is his way of earning a living, and they still haven't returned it. You know, this asset confiscation that the police will do, we need to stop that. That seizure of assets and the confiscation, even if you have not been shown to be guilty, sometimes not even charged with a crime yet, and they can come and confiscate your private possessions, and they keep it. And then even after you have been proven not guilty, they still keep it. We have to stop that, ladies and gentlemen. That's a travesty. We need to stop that at all levels. But here we have these folks who installed Biden, and now in Colorado, they said Trump did lead an insurrection, and he cannot therefore be on the ballot. So the leftists, and the reason why they chose Colorado is they knew that the Colorado Supreme Court would go along with it, that they're a bunch of leftist hacks. And so they went along with it and said, that's right. So Trump was forced to appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it wasn't too long ago that the oral arguments were brought before the U.S. Supreme Court. And now we have Clarence Thomas ask one question that just won Trump this key Supreme Court case. Democrats tried to essentially cancel the 2024 election by stealing the right to vote against Joe Biden from the American people. So this Soros-funded group called Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, by the way, whatever the left calls themselves, that means they're the exact opposite. So here's this Soros-funded group calling themselves Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They filed a lawsuit on behalf of voters in the deep blue state of Colorado, demanding Secretary of State Jenna Griswold be allowed to ban Trump from the ballot using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Crew argued that the disqualification clause applied to Trump because he supposedly led an insurrection on January 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Jeanne Youngblood. I want to continue this after our break at the top of the hour. I also want to hear your thoughts. Should we celebrate Black History Month? My response is no. And I'll tell you why. And I want to hear what your responses are also. Should we celebrate Black History Month? And why now is there this epidemic of anti-Semitism? This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jeanne Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. We'll continue this after the break at the top of the hour.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.